Welcome back to the Skits and Giggles podcast. I am Pascal, chief instigator of the show and your host. I'm joined by my co-host and our resident engineer, the yin to my yang, the idler to my high pivot. Bryson, how's it going today, buddy?
Hey, Pascal. Going good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, bud. We've been talking quite a bit about bike racing already, and there has been some exciting stuff happening here in Switzerland. I've been pretty transparent about my love for racing, but what about you, Bryson? Are you keen to get amongst it from time to time?
Between the tape, I'm not so sure you'll find me, but I could be coaxed into doing one of the team ones or just something a little bit more casual. I tried racing a bunch early on because I thought I had some skills, but there's nothing like a good old race to show you you're not fast. But, you know, actually, I had a lot of good times. And then I ended up doing the BC Enduro Series when I was back in Vancouver, and I had such a good time. I liked the organization so much that I became a volunteer. So I did like the race sweep and some of the like pre-event host type of organization with the number boards and yada yada. And I did that for a season and a half with them, just kind of casually coming and going, and then maybe a race in between or something like that. But yeah, it's a good vibe.
Nice. Well, the good news is that we have a new race series to get excited about here in Switzerland in the form of the Swiss Enduro Series that was recently launched. And what better way to find out what it's all about than inviting the guys on? That's why we have Remy Alemon and Gianluca Huoni today. Welcome to the Skits and Giggles, guys. How's it going?
Hello. I'm going very well, thank you.
Yeah, me too. A good day of riding behind us, so such a big smile on our face and a good race on the weekend as well.
Guys, we also have to thank you for doing this podcast in English. It means a lot to us to be able to do this, and we thank you very much in advance. Before we get to it, let's just get some business out of the way and briefly mention our social and where you guys can find more information about the Skits and Giggles podcast. We are currently most active on Instagram, where you can skid right into our DMs and follow along at Skits and Giggles. And you can find our website with all the relevant links and info under the URL skitsandgiggles.com. Also, if you guys like what we're doing and want to follow along, just give us a follow on Spotify. Hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to great podcasts. Right, guys, the first round of the Swiss Enduro Series in Lenzerheide is behind us. I had the pleasure to be part of it. But before we get into that, I wanted to know and hear from you guys what were your thoughts were. What was the feedback? How did it go? Are you happy?
Yeah, very happy. We've had fantastic weather, lots of smiles on the riders' faces when they came in after a big day on the hill. It was very well received. A lot of very positive feedback on all different aspects, on the organization side of it, on the trails as well. Very happy.
Okay, and maybe what was the highlight from your perspective?
From my perspective, it was the shower of mill cider for Remy, special for me as well. It was a great pleasure. Huge thanks to these people who have done it, because it was like a symbol for that we have done our job more or less the right way. And that, yeah, it was a big highlight for me.
And for you, Remy?
I enjoyed watching the under 15 come into the finish area with their dads or their moms, because they were accompanied by their parents or also by their big brother or big sister. That was just priceless, seeing them finishing the race and having fun with each other on the trails. So that was pretty cool.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, I thought it was, echoing some of the feedback that you just mentioned. I mean, I thought the course was a great design. It was, challenging enough for everyone, from the elites to the hobby racers like myself to the U17s and U15s. as you said, the weather was fantastic. So great days to be out on the bike. So that's always a good time. And yeah, the atmosphere was great. It was, you know, of course, Switzerland, we're in a lucky position that we can have events again, and people are obviously enjoying it and enjoy hanging out together. And so, yeah, so that was, it was really a really great time. And yeah, thanks guys for the event. It was awesome.
Thank you for joining in.
So, of course, this is the first race in a series of events. I think this year there's at least one other race planned. So what were the kind of the takeaways or the key learnings for the next race from the first one?
Yeah, I think the whole organization, and it's another role. We are organizing the EWS in Zermatt, or this year in Gromontana, but then there you are the local organizer, and the EWS, the team around Chris Ball, is doing our role as on the world level. And we must learn how they act and how we have to act in our events at the Swiss Enduro Series. And I think that's a key takeaway, because, yeah, we can not do all the local organizer stuff and our stuff, but we've got a really good local organizer in Lenzerheide, who have done their job really well. And on Friday and Saturday, they've done it, they've shuttled all the volunteers and so on, and this makes for us the race more easy and more comfortable, and then we could do our stuff. But the process is a learning process, and that's my biggest takeaway.
For you, Remy?
My biggest takeaway is that I have to learn how to use a walkie-talkie, because I had a little bit of a mishap. I was a forerunner, and I had to just ride all the trails before everyone came down to just make sure the tracks were all clear. I had to install the timing at the start and at the finish, and then right before doing stage four, I pulled out my walkie-talkie and put it back into my backpack, but I've closed it too tight apparently, so I pressed the button, and so I blocked the channel for about 10 minutes with setting up the timing and riding down the stage. Talked to everybody on the way, of course, and everybody was able to hear what I was saying, and nobody was actually able to say the things they needed to have a good race.
It's funny. We also have to say that stage four is down the Lenzerheide World Cup downhill track. So I assume all they were hearing on the channel was, oh my God, oh my God, oh no, please don't crash, please don't crash.
Oh shit, oh shit.
Oh shit, oh shit, oh shit.
Wrong line.
I messed that up again, actually.
I taped stage four, and I was pretty happy about two corners that were a bit weird and sketchy, and they got me as well. So I hit a tree on the way down, and was very vocal about it, and everybody was able to hear that. So yeah, that was my bad.
Well, there you go. It provided some entertainment for the rest of the
definitely
crew.
Definitely did.
That's what he wanted.
Pissed off Nick though, as our race director, because he wasn't able to get through to everybody else. But sorry for that, Nick.
Ah, well, former guest Nick, I'm sure he took it like a champ.
So I guess it means you have a couple small takeaways that you can implement immediately on the next race. Gianluca, maybe you have some small things that you think can implement onto the next race from the learnings of this weekend?
Yeah, I think a small takeaway is that I learned how to tape, really. How to tape, because I've taped one on stage one. It was a really high speed stage. There was a little small, really small rock drop, I mean, 30 centimeters or so. And I've taped it like this, or like it would be smaller and smaller, or the line would be tighter and tighter. And then I rode it, and it was so dumb because, it was so tight. I mean, the bar was 80 centimeters, and the tape was 80 centimeters. And then I said to Remy, can you go and take this away? It was so dumb. And I think that's a small takeaway for me too.
Well, I guess, you know, with the tracks, it's always you always have your own perspective, and you look at the track and the taping your personal way and how you ride, and then of course you add 400 other riders or however many it was, and everyone takes a different line and finds the insides or the smoother way around as it was. And but yeah, I think certainly on stage one, I think the they cleaned out the forest a little bit and cut back some of the grass to make it more passable. You know, certainly the difference between practice and the race, you could definitely see how many racers already went through the second time you came around. And it was just it was interesting to see how the track developed over those 2 days.
Back to your taping technique, Gianluca. I understand that, yeah, probably if you're going to get going faster and faster, getting a narrower and narrower track is definitely going to be way challenging. But I've actually seen this technique used on tracks that become easier as you go. So maybe you're not going as fast, but the track kind of becomes more open or flatter. Then they tape a little bit narrower, so that it gives you this extra challenge. If you don't have the challenge of the terrain, you have that challenge of trying to navigate the tape. So it's one aspect you could use again in the future in a different way.
I think the taping is shaping the trail, or you can, like Remy did an awesome job on stage four. All were thinking, oh no, straight line, high speed and so on. But with his taping technique and the help of the bike park and the shapers of the bike park, thanks to Philip and his team, they could do this to an awesome enduro track, and to a gnarly one. So I think with taping you can change the character of a trail, and then not so funny trail to ride without tape can be really, really funny, it shapes the character of the whole trail.
Absolutely, and so definitely on stage four, you know, yes, when you hear a World Cup downhill track and you remind yourself the picture you've seen on TV and crazy road gap and all that high speed big jumps and all that sort of stuff. I mean, none of that was in the stage because you took all the slightly off the main line side lines and added some taping to make it more a bit more low speed, I assume, and a bit more challenging to, impassable for everyone, I guess. But overall, in terms of the course, if we want to go a little bit into that, what was the spirit of the course that you tried to follow? Were you kind of free in terms of choosing your tracks, or was there some restrictions?
We've done it this time because it was our first race, and we'll do it again for our next races. We visit the tourism destination, and we look at all the trails and tracks, and we give them some feedback on them, and we give them our wish list, what tracks we would like to use for the race. But then they also have a say in it, and they tell us what tracks they want to show people, because to them it's kind of like a shopping window for people to have a look into the destination, and then hopefully maybe come back or tell their friends that it's actually a cool place to ride bikes. So they get a say in what trails they want to use as well. And then of course there's limitations by law, I guess, or by the commune. There's a lot of different stakeholders in a destination that might be happy or unhappy if we use a trail. So it's kind of like an ongoing discussion all the way up until the race, what trails we're able to use. And then we'll just do the best we can with taping, to make it a very, very fun course. And I think we got lucky in a way that, Lenzerheide gave us very different trails. So we had first stage was very fast, pretty natural, a lot of roots, even a couple of very small rock slabs in the middle, So that was quite easy. We didn't have to do much with taping. We just let people choose their own lines and taped it pretty wide. Stage two was high alpine style. It was a hand-built trail, but the views were absolutely spectacular. And it was long as well, so that was definitely physical, maybe more so on the arms than the legs. Then stage three was a mix between two trails. First trail was again hand-built and had a lot of corners, but then we mixed it up with a second very short trail, but very fun trail, I think. That was flatter, a lot of pedaling in the beginning, and then a fast ending. And yes, stage four was a World Cup downhill track, so not much more to say than that. So yeah, very, very diverse, and we were very happy with the outcome.
Remy, earlier you just mentioned about the U15 group. Now, I haven't seen a youth or non-adult category in enduro racing. I mean, I don't follow it so intensively, but that was kind of that was news to me when you said a U15 group, and obviously there's young racers out there, and that's really cool. And I think it's also cool that you guys are fostering the chance for young racers to get out there and participate. And how is it that you created a format that allowed younger racers? So was it with their chaperone, like an older brother and sister racing with them, or is it just them following them along with the stages, like meeting them at the ends or something like that?
It was very important to us in the series to have a junior category, but we were aware that enduro is a dangerous sport, and you kind of go out into the wild, so it's not very easy to just manage the whole situation. So we felt like we really shouldn't leave the under 15 out on the hill alone. So we came up with the idea to just let them ride in pairs, whether it's the kid in front or the kid in the back. Doesn't really matter, or we didn't do any rules according to that. For us, it's not about the time or the racing. For them, it's more of like the experience to ride an enduro course. That's why we also put girls and boys together. We feel like that just gives a cool mix of just young kids having fun on bikes. And we just want to have somebody with them, whether it's their parents or their big brother or sister, or also a cousin, whatever it is, a good friend. But just to make the experience more safe, but also more fun. I've mentioned before that just to see the kids' faces, but also the dads or moms' faces, to finish the course with their kid was a very special experience to them. So yeah, I think it's a good way to get them closer to a sport, which is what I think pretty hard to get into as a young kid. And we really want to lower that barrier to get into the sport and to give young kids a chance to get into it quite early. And then also maybe later on succeed better when they go up the ranks.
It's a fantastic idea. Kudos to you guys.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, maybe, I think that's a good segue. Let's back it up a little bit and talk about why you guys started the new race series in the first place. Of course, for enduro, there are a number of established event series here in Switzerland, as well as the surrounding countries. So I'm thinking of the Helvetia Cup or the Enduro Teams in Davos is another event. There's, of course, the French Cup series. There's, you know, the Elsass Enduros, Trail Trophies, et cetera, et cetera. So why start with a new one? What was the idea? What's the spirit?
There's a couple of great races in Switzerland. I've raced most of them myself. I've raced Enduro 2, and I've raced the Helvetia Cup for a couple of years, and they're all fantastic events. But what we've seen organizing the EWS is that there's not too many race series that follow the same structures or operations in Switzerland. And the Frenchies or the Italians or the Brits, they usually come in way more prepared, especially in juniors. And we just felt like it'd be cool to have like a mini series with the same structures and rules to just get people acquainted to that kind of enduro racing. But also we felt like that there's, especially with Corona, that a lot of people are getting into bikes these days. And although there are great events, there aren't too many in Switzerland itself, especially in the German-speaking part of Switzerland or the Italian-speaking part of Switzerland. And I don't think all parents want to drive 3 or 4 hours to the next race with their kid or even go to France or Italy. So what we wanted to do again here is to just lower the barrier for people to get into enduro racing. Yeah, we wanted to bring the races to them. And that's one of our main goals, to have races all over Switzerland, especially in the German-speaking part and in the Italian-speaking part, because we believe with the Helvetia Cup in the French-speaking part, we've got a great series in Switzerland where people can have their first race experiences. That's basically why we started it. And we also felt like it would be good to have Swiss Cycling with us to just also implement structures of enduro within Swiss Cycling or with the help of Swiss Cycling. Because as a racer myself, I still have a license, which is just a gravity license, and there's no enduro license, for example. So there's a lot of grassroots work, I think, that needs to be done in Switzerland within the sport of enduro.
Yeah, I think it's awesome, right? Because we've just had the Olympics, and I think the Olympics were like one of the biggest testament to the development paths that are available in the other disciplines of mountain biking, namely cross country. I've grown up with this kind of development paths. I mean, those are the original development structures that were put in place in the 90s. And they're still around today. And I think we're seeing the fruits of that. Not that I'm part of it, but I'm just saying that a lot of the racers like Nino Schurter or Yolanda Neff, they came through these development programs and steps. And I think that's, for Switzerland and gravity side of the sport, if you compare cross country with downhill or cross country with enduro, there's just no structure that brings you from I would like to try an enduro and have the same rules that maybe at some stage are applicable at a World Cup, but the only way I can get there is by traveling to the World Cup. So I think what you're doing is a very, very important step of making enduro a bit more accessible to a much broader user group, let's say, because you don't need to travel to Finale or Madeira or Tweed Valley or wherever it is, or Samat, which obviously for someone in Zurich is almost the same distance as getting to Finale Ligure, but it's an important step for the sport, I think, and sign of what's to come and the future of the sport.
Yeah, and I mean the fundament or. There are so many young bikers around Switzerland. I mean, Profix Cup and Swiss Bike Cup, all these local cross-country races, makes an awesome job. There are so many races, but in the age of 14 or 15, they are not all willing to train so much. Which you have to train for cross country because it's the uphill are really hard. So, but they like to ride down, and what are they doing? Okay, they go to a bike park, but more of them are like to riding more technical stuff and like to ride enduro, but they don't have the possibility to race. But they will go with their friends and they will send huge jumps. Probably, yeah, the level is so high. And I mean, at the weekend we saw Lasse Eschler. He won under 17. He's one of the best four in his category in cross country. But he get top 8 of overall of all elites and so on, and that was impressive. I mean, he's 15 years old, and yeah, if he will do a good way and if he will get the same structure like in a national team or so, then he can get to the top. But that's a little bit like hypothesis, but probably it will work out. But we've got so many riders who fall between the tapes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You risk losing them to some other sport or just never reaching the, like, not saying that everyone needs to reach their full potential, but if someone has the potential to be world class, then I think for every 10 riders that have the potential for world class, only 2 of them maybe have the motivation and drive to actually find their own way to the top, whereas the other 8 to probably need a little bit of help and, you know, a little bit of local support and a little bit of, you know, encouragement along the way. And of course, a series like yours could be that platform, and I sure hope so. So you just launched with the first race in Lenzerheide. We just talked about it. What other destinations do you have on board? And what is the general feedback from a destination that you approach? Are they all like, yeah, great, or now we're not interested in racing at all? What is kind of the experience there?
We were very welcomed in all destinations that we approached. There was a lot of interest, but most destinations were a bit scared maybe as well. They didn't really know what enduro was or what they need to provide to have an enduro race. Most of the destinations were a bit hesitant because they weren't sure if they've got enough infrastructure in the form of trails. So this year we've been visiting a couple of destinations to have a look at their trails and discuss possible courses with them. They were very interested. So we're excited what the future holds for us. This year we're gonna have a lot of on our plate with the Enduro World Series in Crans-Montana in 3 weeks' time. So there wasn't much time to do another round of the SES, but we still managed to get one in, which is Lötschental on the 10th of October. So that's going to be the first year of SES. It's more of a pilot project for us this year, and we're starting with 2 races. But we're actually able to hold Swiss championships, which we're very excited about as well, in Lötschental. And then we're looking to put on some more races on the calendar for next year.
I heard you mention the Italian-speaking region. Were you just dropping a little bit of a foreshadow bomb there? Maybe something in the works for next year?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like the Italian-speaking part unfortunately gets left out every now and then in different areas. It's usually all centered to Zurich, Bern, and the big destinations in Valle or the Grisons. But there's also a couple of very fast riders coming out of Ticino, and I remember going to Monte Tamaro every year right around Easter for the first IXS Downhill Cup of the year, and I've always enjoyed racing in Ticino, and I think we can manage to have a race to have a race in the Italian speaking part hopefully next year.
That's something to look out for sure.
Another interesting thing I observed with the SES is, of course, that you've managed in your first season already managed to pull off an outside of the industry sponsor with Subaru. I think it's always a sign of the health of a sport if you can attract an outside sponsor. But quite in general, how was the reception of other partners of the new race series? Was there good interest, or was there a bit of skepticism?
Yeah, the interest was quite big. We talked with many companies and with not only industries. At the end, there are few industries partnerships, but I mean, if the industry will not stand behind us, then we have to rethink our project. But the echo from the industry was quite overwhelming. I mean, with Santa Cruz, Norco, and bikes, we got two big international brands and a big Swiss brand. I think that's a good issue. And with Subaru, we are really glad to get them on board, because they're providing us a perfect vehicle for a race. I mean, the last days, Subaru was our best helper out. I mean, yeah, a Subaru on a road and a force on a fire road, it's really fun to ride as well. We have to say this. Mm-hmm. I think we can say this. But then what makes me happiest is that we get not only the big brands behind us, but also the small ones, small import distributors, like a small suspension distributor which is not so famous, the EXT, for example, but also our Lotus, Endura, all our partners. I forgot many of them to mention, sorry for that. But yeah, they did an awesome job with us as well, or to working with us. And to be partner with them is really fun. And we can do really much on the content side, but they get us some freedom, and we appreciate it so much that we hope that next season the lineup will be the same, and hopefully a little bit more as well, because a series can only grow with sponsors and partners. I mean, destinations and partners and the racers and volunteers all. And when they are working together, then it can be an awesome experience for the rider.
And you mentioned the importance of having smaller sponsors or kind of lower tiered sponsors. And I guess this is mostly catered to like the smaller private companies and not these larger international ones. What's your opinion on why it's so important to have these smaller, probably local companies joining SES as opposed to more international brands?
I think one important thing is the brand awareness of the brand Swiss Enduro Series, because we want to recognize not as the big and like from a few from a big distance or long distance. We want to see and know each other, and I think that's easier with small companies, because you can talk to them directly, you can call them, you can visit them, and if they will sit in the office in the UK or in the US, it will be more difficult to build up a relation. And the sponsorship business is a relation business. If you don't have the relation, you cannot build up good sponsorships. That's my approach. Because then I think it's important to have these small brands or distributors on board as well. And they are opinion leaders or in the community and so on. If someone is distributing forks, and is in the bike club of this this town, and he likes the idea. He will get other people to like the theory and so on. I mean, that, yeah, that's really important.
Okay, and it's also a very good, you know, in terms of your sponsorship portfolio, it's obviously also helpful to have kind of a balance between big name sponsors and a number of smaller sponsors. So whenever, if there is any change, then not the whole sponsorship construct implodes. So that's you know, some sensible risk management, if I may say so. All right. Maybe a little a controversial question. I have it in my notes here. It's always, I always say that the cynical view of the EWS is that it's basically a high-end travel company for catering to the EWS 100. Are you planning to do the same with the SES, or how do you stand to that accusation?
I think it's partly true, but not in a bad way. I do think that an EWS race promotes a region hugely within the mountain biking sector, because on an EWS weekend, the whole mountain bike scene is looking at that destination. And I don't think that's a bad thing for a destination that wants to put a foot forward and give commitment to mountain biking. So yeah, I think it's a great thing, because it also it's one of the biggest appeals for a destination to even hold one of these races. And the destination needs to put in a lot of work to be able to have one of these events. So it's only fair, I think, that they get something back in return. And I guess we're doing partly the same thing, but in a much, much smaller scale. And it's definitely not our biggest focus or our biggest goal to just sell our race to destinations. We're definitely more looking for destinations to have us in order to be able to provide young talent or free racers, fundraisers, a good event to have some fun on mountain bikes. So yeah, I think it should be a good mix in between all of these different aspects.
Absolutely agree. I mean, it's I mean, I enjoy the traveling with the EWS, you know, once a year to go to an event that, you know, I've done Madeira, I've done Zermatt, I'm going to Pietra this year. So it's always good. It's always a good time. It's super well organized. You know, you show up, you just don't really have to think about much apart from booking your accommodation. And you're pretty much guaranteed some of the best riding in the world, a good time with good people. And, you know, as long as the weather plays along, you know, there's really not that much that can go wrong.
And I mean, it goes both ways. Like the EWS is definitely also gaining a lot from these special places they go to, because people know the places already. And then there's an event, which is a very easy way to look at trails and discover a new destination. So I think it's a win-win for both of them, for the EWS and the destination.
Okay. Well, maybe to add a little bit of a personal perspective from you guys, we've talked a lot about racing, and you mentioned that you did do some racing, but are you still involved at this stage? How does your riding look like today?
I ride a lot less since we started the project SES, that's for sure. But yeah, I still try to ride my bike quite frequently, and I do a couple of races here and there. I used to ride downhill in juniors, and then I moved over to Enduro together with a couple of friends, and we built a team, and did Enduro 2 and Helvetic Cup, and been racing the EWS for the last 5 years, but just a just a couple of events every year, not the whole thing, and still doing that now, but we'll see what the future holds. I'm not getting any younger.
Oh, you just get much more relaxed when you get older. That's sweet. My take on it.
Sweet.
And you, Gianluca?
I was more into playing handball, but it's the opposite way of Remy. Since we started the series, I'm more and more into this this enduro thing. Before I was more like last season I loved to hike and bike, for example, and the adventure thing, and I was touring, but this season I only riding trails. When I started mountain biking, I said I will never have a race plate on my bike, because handball is my thing to perform, but not on the bike. And I'm always saying I'm better at organizing than riding, but it's not so difficult, because my riding is quite not such on a good level. So but I've registered for the Enduro 2 this year in Davos, but unfortunately we have to go to Gran Montana 1 week before, so I cannot race this year. But we wanted to do a trip, Nick and me, because we cannot race, in Davos to Romania to discover and so on. But unfortunately, then there is the race in Lutschenthal. So I will not race this year, but I think I have to next year. So one race per year, per experience, how it is as a racer. And I mean, that I think that's important to learn something on the viewpoint, because the last weekend I saw different things which are important for a racer, but I don't experience it, and that is like if I know how to swim but I cannot feel the water, so thing like that.
Very good point. But we're a podcast about mountain biking in Switzerland, and we like to explore a little bit, just briefly, our favorite riding destinations, and we obviously all try to ask all of our guests to shed some lights on their favorite trails and destinations. So, where do you like riding, if you have a day to yourself on the trails?
Just a day or a couple of weeks that I can fly off to some warmer places in winter.
Maybe if you have one day and then an alternative if you have 3 weeks.
I think no place is like home, and I live in Biel, and I've always enjoyed riding at home. But then again, I've lived in the Engadin. And for the time I called the Engadin home, that was my favorite place to ride. So I guess it's more of what you make of it. And when you feel home and have a couple of buddies to ride with, it's always a good time. I guess that's why we all love it.
I discovered my home trails in Thun since Corona, and in the Bernese Highlands, there are some good trails. Remy always told, Bien is really good to ride, and I have to agree, it's not such a bad place to ride, and I hope I will come back and Remy will show me some more trails. But I love to ride as well in the Engadin, so I were 5 years every year, 1 or 2 weeks there. So but for me the experience on the bike is the most important thing. So today we were riding here in, I cannot say where, but we were riding the canton of Grisson, and the experience and the laugh and smiles on the bikes are more important than the place. It's like staying on the bike is so yeah, it gives me very, very much, and yeah, it's not all about the place.
Yeah, definitely. Gianluca touched on the emotion there, and that's pretty much what hits my soft spot for mountain biking. I originally just started it because my best friend was like, hey, let's try mountain biking. And I thought, yeah, okay. But then it was like, oh, that's fun. You can do like a jump and you get a little bit of adrenaline. But then coming alongside that is you're riding with your best friend or you're riding with your really good buddy and you're making friends. And that feeling is, yeah, what keeps me going to this day. So yeah, it's probably the main thing for me as well. And actually, yeah, Pascal, we just held Skids and Giggles alumni ride just a couple weekends ago. And the weather didn't play in our favor, but the amount of smiles did. So, I mean, I think it was a win. We did good. Yeah, it was a good one.
It was indeed not dry. but it was the funny... I mean, if there's one funny takeaway from that is like we planned on doing two laps of this hill that, you know, is kind of one of our spots around here in Zurich. We planned to do two laps. You know, it was dry when we started. We go up the first time, come halfway down, starts raining. And of course, optimist that I am, I was like, no, guys, don't worry. That's not the rain. That's just the river flowing through the forest. Anyway, we rode down. 1 minute later, completely drenched. So we go to the cafe, have a little break, and then, you know, almost kind of that point where you say, like, nah, yeah, come on, it's raining really hard. Let's not, let's just pack it in. It was a good ride. Let's have a coffee and then go home. And then all of a sudden, like 2 minutes later, it's like the right kind of people, and it's the right kind of setting. And everyone was like, well, we're an hour away from home, so what else are we going to do? And actually, it's not raining that hard. Bryson was the only one that didn't have a rain jacket, by the way. And then all of a sudden, I was like, well, maybe we should ride up again. Then two other guys were like, oh, yeah, actually, well, if you're going, then I'm coming too. And in the end, the whole group, you know, turned around, put their rain jackets on, rode back up the hill again. And it was, as Bryson said, it was like one big laugh. And I think that's what it's all about, right? It's hanging out with friends, doing silly stuff. Skids and such, and yeah, so then even the weather doesn't matter.
Yeah, one more thing I wanted to say about this and the places and experiences is more or less the community. I was riding a long time more or less lonely, or I didn't know much people from the scene where I could ask, so I was riding lonely, but they were always people around who were helping or who were showing me trails or who were be there for a quick ride or a trail and so on. And that's one important thing who I'm thinking the community is more important for a destination and so on than the trails. I think it can be make so much or also for enduro racing. If there you've got a good community, then you get a lot of volunteers and it will create a really good vibe at the event.
And speaking of volunteers, does the SES open their doors to volunteers? Or is everybody a paid employee managing the course?
No, we have to. It's very time consuming and very manpower consuming to hold an enduro race. It starts with taping and with just preparing everything for the race, but then you need a lot of marshals. And same as with our sponsors, without people helping us, this project wouldn't be possible in any way. We need a lot of volunteers that help us out during race weekend, so we can manage everything by ourselves before and after the race. But on race day, it's just not enough to be three people. And we've been lucky enough in Zermatt and also at the SES this year with great people from the community that help out, that come out and do an enormous amount of work on long days. So yeah, very helpful and grateful for it.
Excellent. So anybody who just wants to throw their hat in the ring and log into the website and find the info to contact you guys.
Exactly.
Right on. So Luchental locals, please apply.
they've got a huge community, and we've been very impressed with the local organizing committee. It's 10 people that are just working very hard on creating a good event, and they've already sent us a list with loads of people that are coming out to help, and everybody's very excited for that weekend, sponsors included. We're looking forward to it. It's good.
Well, we are getting towards the end of our time today, and we would like to close out the show with our now notorious, infamous, famous closeout questions, if that's okay. So maybe with question number one, Remy, tell us a little bit about the bike, the first bike that got you really stoked on riding.
Oof. I still smile when I think about that thing. It was a white Specialized Enduro FSR from the years 2000. But I was very stoked on it because it had full suspension. It didn't have much, but it looked like a downhill bike. I ripped that thing to pieces. Couldn't do any jumps because it usually lost its back wheel because the axle wasn't really in one piece anymore. But that thing was mean.
Nice. Gianluca, maybe imagine you are Harry Schedini and you are a bike magician extraordinaire. You can make riding a bike more awesome for everyone by the stroke of a magic dropper post. What would you do?
I think I would look that the people are cannot more complaining when they are sitting on a bike. But I have to learn this. In the beginning, there was always the material or the trail or something was not perfect. But then now, since I'm working with Nick is this guy, and he learned to me, look, when you are on the bike, no matter if it's only a fire road to go straight, then enjoy it, enjoy the moment, and enjoy the experience. And I think that would be more, today all has to be perfect, but that's not possible. So I think it would be better if they cannot complain and enjoy the moment.
Nice. Yeah. I like it. It's a good takeaway.
So I can't really get it straight in my head. I know you guys are riding today, and I can't decide whether I want to hear the opinion of the first person point of view or the third person point of view, but maybe you both want to take a shot at it. So Remy, tell me, what makes Gianluca skid so good?
There, my opinion of Gianluca skids. They're wild because he usually gets out of control. At least he did today. And I think that's the best feeling I get, when you almost lose the back wheel, but then bring it back around. So that's what makes a skid exciting for me.
How accurate is all of this, Gianluca?
Yeah, that's accurate. I have the pleasure to ride with three really good riders, and it was like a little bit riding in paradise because all these lines, and it was so playful, and to see them and the last year I've met so many people who are riding so sick for me, and I can learn so much from them. But the skid there, I don't know how, but the end position under a rock, and where I missed my glasses, and I have to took the light of the iPhone that I can, sorry for the product placement, but it was an iPhone, sorry for that, but to find my glasses, and all were cheering and all were looking for me, but yeah, that was, I don't know, I liked this ride. The conditions were not the best, but the community and the experience, and for me, yeah, to ride with so good riders and so funny people, made this day a good day. And my skit was one for the books.
Yes,
sounds like it.
That was one big skid right into a cave.
Nice.
And we were definitely also cheering a bit because he was still alive. Because when we didn't see him anymore, hidden underneath that rock in the cave, we got a little bit frightened. But he made it out in one piece and happy days.
Good stuff. Well, guys, thanks again for your time. This is really, really cool. I know you're super busy, certainly after this weekend and with the EWS coming up. That was really interesting. I hope you had a good time too. If our listeners want to find out more about the Swiss Enduro Series or about you guys, where can they find you? Where can they find more information?
You can find us on Instagram at Swiss Enduro Series, and then on swissenduro.ch. You can find more stuff and you can register there for the race in Lutchentown. And if you want to write us an email, you can do that, and you can write us at contact@bikemedia.ch. Or you will come to Biel or Thun and have a ride with us.
Oh, sweet. Oh. We might take you up on that.
Yeah, love invitations.
All right, guys. That was awesome. Thanks again. And I hope to see you soon again, latest in Lutchentau. And until then, ciao.
Ciao. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Ciao.
See you guys.